You may be seated.
Can you hear me? Thank you. Can I put it right here?
Just put it right there. Yep.
All right. If you have your Bible with you this morning, would you please open it to Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1. When you get there, give me a wink, give me a nod, give me a holler, tell me something, because I don't want to leave you in the dirt. And while you're turning there, this is what God's word says. I just want to read the first three verses of Hebrews 12. And it says, "Therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls."
And the first habit that we want to remember in order to run effectively is we want to remember and draw strength from those witnesses who came before. The verses that we read say, "For since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses," well, you know what a witness does. He testifies to what he heard and what he saw. In other words, witnesses tell you, "I was there. I lived it." And we need to be reminded of those witnesses that have gone before us that can testify to us that the Lord is true and trustworthy, that he means what he says, that his word is good and he is faithful and compassionate and kind and filled with mercy, and he will be there when everybody else leaves. Abraham had the kind of faith that God spoke and he believed God. That was all it took for Abraham to leave his father's house and everything he knew and go on a 1,500-mile trip one way just because the Lord said. Noah had such faith, he's going to spend over 100 years building a boat 200 miles from the nearest water because God said. Job's wife said, "Why don't you just curse God and die?" Job said, "The Lord gives and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." I don't know about you guys, but that encourages me. We need to be reminded, what I mean when I say be reminded by the faith of those witnesses that came before, I mean go to the Word and read it. Think about it. Whether that's a old school Bible like the one I've got on my table, or whether that's an app, or whether whatever format it is, go and read it, because you need the testimony of people who did it before you. And I would even say that that extends even further to people that we have known who gave their lives in Jesus' service and they're not here anymore. But they left us with a faithful example, and they would be the first one to tell you the Lord is legit. He means what he says. He's for real. You can trust him and you can give him your life with confidence. We need reminders of those witnesses. And the second thing says, because we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, the second part of verse 1 says, let us lay aside the sin that so easily ensnares us. And I'll stop right there. The second habit we need is not just to remember and draw strength from those witnesses. The second one is that we need to run smart when it comes to sin. Now, that word ensnares, this is New King James. Your Bible might say a different word in place of ensnares, but if you strip that word ensnares down to its original, what it means to constrict your movement, to distract you, and to stop you from forward progress. That's what sin does. The deceptiveness of sin is that you can do something and there will be no consequences. That's a lie. There's always short-term and long-term consequences to any sin you commit. The enemy will major on the majors and minor on the minors, and he will do that to try to get you to disregard the consequences that God says that will come as a result of sinful behavior for just a little bit of pleasure. But the main thing that sin will do is distract you from the race you're trying to run and make it impossible for you to run, because it done wrapped you up like a kudzu vine. And you can't run when somebody's grabbing you and wrapping you up. Well, what grabbed you and wrapped you up? Your opportunity and temptation meets a desire on your part, meets a concrete behavior, and then you've got a sin that you need to repent of. And God didn't cause you to do it. You did when you made the choice. He doesn't cause anybody to sin or lead anybody into sin. If we sin, it's on us. But it stops us from running. And that idea of laying it aside, pushing it aside, is you're going to get hit with temptations and hard times and things from your past that are going to come calling in a different box and different wrapping paper, and you have to see through that because the enemy hasn't changed his playbook in 2,000 years. He wants to cut your throat and leave you in the ditch to die. That is always his end game. He wants to destroy you and everybody that you love. Don't give in to that. Realize that he wants to wrap you up. Tell him no and keep running like you mean it. That's the second part of verse 1. Run with endurance. Now, run means what you think it means. To gain ground because of serious spiritual effort. We've got this idea in the American church that we can come to know Jesus and then we can kick our feet up in the shade and eat cookies and drink lemonade until we go home to be with heaven. No, sir. We have a race to run. We have a race to run. We have to run when hard times come, when we're running by ourselves. This is not a 50-yard dash. This is a marathon uphill in the rain. Why are you doing that? You're doing that because Jesus loved you enough to die for your sins when you didn't deserve it. God forgive us when we're on the track, we got our shoes laced up, and we refuse to run because we think it's all right. I don't think so. We need to run because of what it costs for us to be involved in the race of faith in the first place. Jesus says, leave sin alone. It will wrap you up. Don't minimize it. Don't explain it away. Leave it alone. If anybody knows what sin will do, Jesus does. He had to leave heaven to come here and deal with it at the cost of himself. So he knows exactly what it is. He says, put that away from you and run with endurance. In other words, run with perseverance. Run when times get hard. Run when you don't have no company. Run when you don't know, you can't see, and you feel like your prayers are hitting the ceiling and bouncing down on top of your head again. Keep running. No matter what, keep going. If you're going to lay your sin aside, you have to get serious where you struggle. You got a list right here while I'm talking of where you struggle. You don't need anybody to tell you where you struggle. You already know. Make a list. Put ditches, fences, steel doors, razor wire in between you and where you struggle. Why? Because you got a race to run. You got a race to run. Jesus loves you, and he died for you, and he says, leave it alone. You got a race to run. Reality is what God says it is. He says you're supposed to be busy running and not taking a water break where you struggle. But we do, don't we? We get momentum, and we're famous for checking out. Oh, yeah. Passes for endurance and obedience and perseverance in my life oftentimes is shameful. See, I don't want you to put me somewhere I'm not at. I know myself. Like Charles Spurgeon used to say, I'm intimately acquainted with my own depravity. I know what kind of sinner I am. And so do you. That's what makes it all the more important that we get ruthless where we struggle. Why? Because we're doing something that's bigger than that. And we'll all struggle. That's why 1 John 1:9 is so important. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. When you struggle, don't stay in the dirt. Confess, repent, get up, and keep running. Don't get bogged down. There's a difference between struggling with sin and staying in the ditch because you like it. Don't you do that. You're wasting time, time you don't have. Get up and run. That's what sin does. It wraps you up. It distracts you. It impairs your movement. It stops forward progress. Push it away from you and run like you mean it. Hard after Jesus. You know where those areas are. They're rolling through your head while I'm talking. Christianity costs you. The price is steep. Whatever it costs you and whatever it costs me is nothing to what Jesus already paid on our behalf when we weren't looking for him. So we need to get serious about endurance. And we need to run smart in regards to sin. The third one is we need to keep our eyes on Jesus. Verse 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. The number three habit that we need to run the race of faith is to keep our eyes on Jesus. Now that means to look at with no distractions. To look at intently, focused, knowing there's distractions out there, but you refuse to be distracted. And the reason that we need to look at Jesus is because, like the writer of Hebrews says, he's the author and finisher of our faith, that our faith from start to finish is because of him. It's his love that motivated his sacrifice, that caused him to shed his blood, that caused him to make us promises, that caused him to ultimately, when he comes again, to set everything right again. He did it. He started something in us, and he'll finish it. It's like Paul said to the Philippians in chapter 1, verse 6, "For he who began a good work in you will be faithful to complete it until the day of Christ Jesus." Jesus doesn't do loose ends. He starts things and he finishes things. Praise the Lord. If he started something in you, bless God, he's going to finish it. If he started something in me, he's going to finish it. We can trust that. He's responsible for our faith from start to finish. And then he says, for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. In other words, the cross was not too high a price to pay for you, for your sin to be dealt with. When it says he despised the shame, he literally didn't consider being naked and dying in front of his mother and his friends while people were running their mouth in broad daylight. Too high a price to pay for your redemption. Too high a price to pay for your forgiveness. Too high a price to pay to give you a future and a hope. Wow. You mean to tell me, Candace, that Jesus loves me that much? Yes. You mean to tell me that he knows everything I did, even if there are no witnesses? He knows everything I'm doing and everything I will do, and he still loves me that much? Uh-huh. Absolutely. That's incredible. It's absolutely incredible. His actions allow you to have a way out from under your sin. He died in your place. He's the reason you get to run the race of faith. Notice I said get to. A lot of people act like following Jesus is something they have to do. No, it's a privilege. It's something we get to do. We've got our priority twisted. We've got our focus twisted. Let me straighten it right on out. It's a privilege to give your life to Jesus and say, Lord, whatever you want, sign me up. Because nobody loves me like you. Nobody did for me what you did for me. Other people might leave me, but you promised you'll never leave, and your word is good. So whatever you want to do with me, Lord, you go right ahead. That's your prerogative. Because of what you did. We don't never need to leave our focus from that, or let that be commonplace or ho-hum or something that we just say and go on about our business. There's nothing common about what Jesus did for sinners like us. Nothing at all. And God forgive us when we make it so. Sometimes when we talk about Jesus, we talk about him like a Pepsi and a pack of crackers that you can buy at the Circle K on the corner. And Jesus is not that. We need to have our perspective adjusted to realize the magnitude of his love for us, and that he wasn't content to stop at words. He demonstrated it. Romans chapter 5, verse 8 says, "For God demonstrates his own love toward us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." That heaven, he said, here I am, you send me. I'll get it done. I'll do it for them, because they can't do it on their own. I'll be back after a while. When it's all finished, I'll be back. Don't ever let that escape you. That's incredible. Sinners like us, he's willing to do that. That's why he's greatly to be praised. That's why that if you run and you don't have any company at present, you're running by yourself, you keep running. When you got financial cost and relationship cost and friendship cost and all these costs that you've got, you keep running. It'd be a different New Testament if Jesus would have said halfway up Golgotha, you know what, I'm out, I'm going home. He didn't do that. He finished it at the cost of himself. And he gave us a race to run, and we need to run like we mean it. And see, we're all at different points in the race. There's some folks who've been Christians and loving the Lord and walking with him in obedience for longer than I've been breathing. They're here in this room. And there's younger folks that they're just coming to know Jesus, or they just did a couple of months ago. The same with some adults. Whenever it is that your race of faith starts, that's not the important part. The important part is that once you start it, you finish it. You keep running. Nothing deters you from what you're doing. You keep running. And I know what the temptation is. Candace, I've been walking with Jesus since the 60s. I'm tired. I've been on mission trips. I taught Sunday school. I'm tired. No, you keep going. Don't quit. Keep going. And if you're here and you're in ministry and you think, well, I got some years under my belt in ministry and I want a little holiday. No, there are none. You keep going. You don't quit either. And if you're a college student and you're a freshman or you're a sophomore and you're a junior and you are following Jesus, and it's hard for you on campus because people know that you're following Jesus and you're for real with it, you keep paying those costs. If you're a young lady, don't you ever settle. You hold out for what Jesus has got for you. You be the godly woman he wants you to be. And for the young fellas, you be a man and you make sure that you're not anybody's emotional baggage. You want to conduct yourself in a way that you're caught the cause for nobody's tears later. You handle yourself the way that a man should, the way God's word tells you to. And you make no apology for that. That's what a man does. He straightens his back and he does what's right, even if it ain't popular. You do that. You walk after Jesus with everything you are, and you stay on your knees, and you beg him to make you into a man he can use. And he will. What did Jesus tell Peter and the boys? Follow me, and I'll make you. He'll make you into something he can use for his glory. And I know it's hard in college. It was hard for me when I went to college, and that was 20-something years ago. It makes me cringe to think about what college students are dealing with now. But Jesus is still the same. He still works. His word's still good. And he'll be there for you when nobody else is. You buckle down and do what you need to, even if it ain't popular. You keep on. And you run. And the last one is straight out of verse 3. We need to consider him while we run. We need to consider him while we run. Verse 3 says, For consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your soul. We need to consider him. Now, that word consider means what you think it means. Focused mental attention, deliberate mental effort on Jesus while you're running. Consider him. But notice what the writer of Hebrews tells you in verse 3 that you're supposed to consider about him. Consider him who endured such hostility of sinners against himself. What's he talking about? He's talking about Calvary, where he died. And the reason he wants you to focus on what Jesus did on Calvary is because when the race gets hard, the enemy will come at you, and these are the two things that the enemy will come at you with, usually right up front. He will try to get you to doubt the love of God, and he'll try to get you to doubt the deity of Jesus. Does God really love me? And is Jesus really who the Bible says that Jesus is? Can I really trust him with everything? By and large, those will be the first two things you get hit with, because we're daily confronted with our sin. And sometimes when you're up to here and things you've done wrong, you think, I have got to be close to my quota. Jesus is going to cut me loose. No, he will not. He died for you and you didn't deserve it. So nothing you do can make him stop loving you. And can I really trust Jesus with everything? Can I really just put all my eggs in his basket, even though I already know it's not popular, it's going to cost me? Can I really do that? Yes, you can. He doesn't just secure your present and forgive your past. He secures your eternity. He tells us in his word that, like for me, when I get to heaven, I got a new body. Which I'm excited about, by the way. I got a new name. I got a new suit of clothes. I got an inheritance that's waiting on me. And I have a place at his banquet table. Nobody can take my place. It's mine. Nobody can steal my inheritance. It's mine. He set it aside for me. I have a new name that when he uses it, I'll know he's talking to me, because I'm the only one who has that name. Those things are things that the Word says that every Christian has. It's set. You can trust Jesus with everything. Paul told Timothy, I know who I have believed in, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed to him against that day. Paul said, I know who the Lord is. I know he's good. I know he's got me, so I can give him everything. And so can you. I'm talking about doubling down on Jesus. I'm talking about no fallback plan, no plan B, no secret bank account and secret resources off to the side in case things go sideways like they have in our world. You know, people have an exit strategy for things that haven't happened yet. But if we're not careful, Christians try to do that too. They don't want to commit. Not all the way. Because it's scary to commit all the way. Yes, it is. But Jesus deserves that. No limit, no reservation, wide open, 100%. Look at what he did. Did he have a limit when he came and died for us? Did he say, that's too much? Did he stop short of what he was doing? Absolutely not. He went all in for you and me. And we need to, especially now, because people need to know Jesus. They're struggling. They don't have any hope. They don't have any peace. They don't have any joy. They're working themselves in the mud trying to get something that'll never leave them. And everything in the world always has a clock on it. It always leaves. You always need more. No wonder they're committing suicide. No wonder they're crashing their car at 130 on the interstate. No wonder they're doing hundreds of dollars worth of drugs in a day and drinking a gallon and a half of bourbon every day. You would too if everything you tried disappeared and you're left holding the bag. Jesus will never leave you. He's for real. Don't take my word for it. You try him yourself and see. Don't take my word for nothing. If you don't know him and you know you don't have to hurt anymore. I'm going to just tell you that. You don't have to hurt not one more minute. He's here. He loves you. He paid for your sins. He wants to forgive you and cleanse you and make you clean. He wants to give you a future and a hope. You don't need money in the bank for that. You don't need approval from people from that. You don't need fancy clothes for that. You don't need to say and do all the right things on social media for that. No, we're talking about what Jesus can do for you. And he already did. That's how much he loves you. The only thing left for you to do is take him up on the offer that's on the table. Trust me and believe me. You don't need to hurt like that anymore. And if you are, my heart goes out to you because I used to live where you live. I used to hurt like that. I used to not care if tomorrow came. And every single day I used to think about killing myself. Then Jesus. And if he did it for me, he can do it for you. And I promise, you come to him in faith on his terms and you admit your sin, he will not turn you away. I can promise you that. He'll come to live in your heart. He will invade your reality and he will change you for the better. People you grew up with won't even recognize you no more. Boy, what happened to you? You different. Jesus. He can do that. He's still in the life-changing business. That's why he hadn't come back yet. Because he's giving you time. The clock is ticking. He's soon to come back, but he's not back yet. So the offer is still on the table. When he comes back, it's too late. And I know I hit you with a lot. I did it on purpose because for some of you, this is the last time, the only time I'm going to get a chance to talk to you. So I want to make sure that you understand what the deal is. It's not about me. I'm nobody. I'm just somebody he's been good to, but he has been really good. And I'm excited for what God can do in you. He's incredible. He makes a way where there ain't none. He does things people say can't be done. He handles it once and for all. He's that good. So I'm going to ask you to do something, and I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, and I'm not going to ask you to get out of your chair, and I'm not going to ask you to come and say anything in front of anybody. But what I am going to beg you to do is do business with Jesus today. If you know that something is not right, you're on the sidelines and you need to get up and run. Stand up and run hard. If you're in the race and you're tempted to go on cruise control and be complacent and apathetic and ho-hum, don't. Run hard. If you're contemplating on whether to start, and you don't know if you want that kind of commitment. Believe me when I tell you, you do. Because this world will love you on Monday and want to cut your throat on Wednesday afternoon. And they're ruthless. And they play for keeps out there. You don't need that drama. You follow hard after Jesus and you give your life to him. And you run like you mean it for as long as you got until either he comes back or you go home to be with him. So that when you get to heaven, you might have regrets about what happened before you came to know him. But you have absolutely none about what happened after. You don't want to hang your head when you see him again. You don't want to be ashamed that you didn't open your mouth. You kept it shut. You don't want to not do something that you really need to. just because there's a cost. The things that really matter, there's always a cost. You go on and pay it. Whatever it is, you pay it. Because you want as many people as you possibly can to be impacted with the gospel, because it's the only hope they have. Jesus is the only hope this world has got. Jesus is the only hope for sinners like us. And once you come to know him, you walk after him like you know him. You stay in your Bible. You stay on your knees. You stay connected to your brothers and sisters in Christ. You do that in the hard times, in the good times, and everything in between. You let the days and the weeks and the months and the years and the decades come and go. You stay connected to Jesus. You abide in him. You walk after him. You do everything you can in his service. And then at the end of it all, you go home. You go home. See, it's a privilege to be spent in his service. It's a privilege to give your life to Jesus for whatever he wants to do with it. He's the most wonderful thing we'll ever be associated with. Period. So if you have business to do with Jesus, I'm begging you, do it, please, while you still have time. Today, not 3 weeks from Tuesday, right now. What you going to do later on, it can wait. What you going to eat for lunch, it can wait. What you're thinking about in your head right now, put it on the back burner. If you've got things you need to do with Jesus right now, do it right now. Because yesterday is already gone and tomorrow's not here yet. Today is what we're working with. You can't put it off. Not something this important. Please don't. Doing business with Jesus is what his house is for. And he waits for you to do that. He waits to meet you where you are and handle what you got going on. He waits. Don't make him wait too long. Because the stakes are too high. If you got a family, then you love them and you point them to Jesus. If you've got friends and coworkers who don't know Jesus, you love them, you point them to Jesus. If you've got the lady you're running across at Walmart who you see every time you go, you love on her and point her to Jesus. You do everything you can for as long as you can while you're here. Keep going. Never stop. Not for nothing or nobody. Because if you do, you're going to regret it. I can promise you that. You're speaking to somebody who treated Jesus like an Airbnb for years. Just pull through, then pull back out again and do my own thing. Those days are finished. Trust me when I tell you, leave that alone. Come to Jesus straight up. Talk to him straight up about what you got going on. And then walk after him like you mean it. Otherwise, what are we doing here? We're killing time till we go eat. That's all we're doing if we're not invested. He's not impressed with church games. Did you know that? Play in church will send you to hell when you die. You got to be careful with it. I'm telling you what I know. Be careful. And if you're playing games, please stop. Please stop. You get serious with Jesus, he's going to get serious with you. I can promise he'll do that. I have tried him and seen it for myself. See, I made Jesus come to the mud and the bramble bushes to get me. Many years ago, I made him go way out to get me. So glad he did. If he didn't, I'd be dead. But I'm here. He's so, so good. I could max the battery on this microphone out talking about how good he is. And if you know, you know. And if you don't, you can find out today. Can I take a minute and just pray for you? Because I know I'm way over my time. But I just want to pray for you because it's too heavy not to. Let's pray. Father, just come to you because I know there's a lot of things going on right now. There's a lot of people in front of me who are hurting. There's a lot of issues. Financial issues, personal issues. In some cases, legal issues. There's just issues. God, would you strengthen and encourage hearts? Would you help folks to come to you? Would you help folks to be able to bring everything they're dealing with and just lay it before you and ask you to move and ask you to work and ask you to do things? God, you can handle whatever they got going on. Whatever they got going on is not bigger than you. You can do anything. So God, would you encourage them? And if some folks are just tired, would you encourage them so they can keep going? Would you keep them going so they can run in a way that would honor you? Would you remind them of the truth of your word? Remind them of your faithfulness in the past? Remind them of your goodness and your mercy? So they keep going so they can finish well. And for those folks that are still deciding whether they want to follow you, Lord, would you speak to them in language today that they can understand so that they come to you on your terms and they admit their sin and they cry out to you and ask for your forgiveness and place their faith in you and what you did on Calvary to be enough to secure their eternity. God, would today be the day of salvation for many here. And after they come to know you, would they run hard, taking strength and encouragement from those witnesses, being serious and smart when it comes to sin, keeping their eyes and their focus on you, Lord Jesus, and to consider you while they run. Would they do that wide open? God, would you bless them and would you change lives today? This is all about you. This is about your honor and your glory and your name and your kingdom being advanced in this world. This is always and forever going to be about you. God, would you do things that only you can take credit for today? And God, I thank you. Thank you ahead of time for what you already got in the works that I don't know anything about. Thank you for what you're already doing. And we just ask these things in Jesus' name because he loves us and he did the work. Amen.